Said Estuan Olmedo.
This meeting is being recorded.
Thank you, Mark. Gotta get the meeting started. Ted Estuan will not be attending tonight. This is the February 15th regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. All rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
7:02 p.m.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes, Mr. Estuan is excused. Stephen Jalowick.
Here.
Dave Kupchansky.
Here.
Raul Sanchez is excused. Albert Miskowitz.
Here.
Raymond Sadlick.
Sean.
He was Raymond here.
Raymond Sadlick, I saw him.
There you go.
Maybe he's on mute.
Maybe. We'll come back to him. Gino DiGiovanni.
Here.
Michael Fratterola.
Here.
Dan Blisman.
Here.
Ray Sadlick, for the record.
I think he got dropped off. I don't see him on here, but he was. So I think maybe he'll sign right back in, I think.
Hopefully come back.
He texted me about the meeting, so I'm sure he'll be here.
Very good.
All right. We'll keep an eye out for him. We'll mark that Danny and Mike are sitting in for Ted Estuan and Raul at this point. All right. Do we have any additions, deletions, or corrections to the agenda that anybody knows of? Ryan, anything?
No.
Barbara, anything that you know? Okay, we'll move on to communications. I only saw one communication come through, and that was a letter from a citizen. I guess I ought to read this real quick, assuming I can find it. There it is. This is a letter to Ted Estuan, Chairman, Derby Planning Zoning Commission. Dear Chairman Estuan, I'm writing to voice a complaint over a property located at 75 Park Avenue. I own a home located next door at 71 and a half Park Avenue. The property located at 75 Park Avenue is a grandfather storage building in a residential zone and has over the past 5 years turned into a junkyard in a residential zone. There are numerous storage containers, mounds of dirt, numerous junk vehicles that, to my understanding, are not supposed to be there. The building is only to be used for storage and zero outside storage. I was in front of the board at least 4 years back and received paperwork that I've since misplaced from you at a meeting. I've written to the zoning officials, blight officers, and I've received zero updates. Thank you for your time. Patrick Manoffi, 70 Mill Pond Road, Stratford, Connecticut. And this was copied to the mayor, to Sarah Wadomsky, Sarah Carey, blight officials, Joe DiMartino, blight subcommittee, and Tom D'Onofrio, blight subcommittee. Ryan, can you make sure that this gets forward to the new CEO?
Yes, Mr. Vice Chairman. This property, just so you're aware, was issued a cease and desist when Sarah was still with the city, and also a letter indicating that fines were going to start accumulating. So this property owner has been made aware of the situation, and I will make sure that the new zoning enforcement officer, who's been selected by the mayor's office, Kevin White, to respond or renew, to investigate and see if the corrections have been made.
Okay, and then maybe we could do a follow-up at next month's meeting, just so we kind of dot the I's, cross the T's. I assume you can also ask him to make sure he contacts the complainant.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, thank you.
And I think Ray's joined us back.
Yeah, I was just going to tell you, Steve, yes. Mr. Chairman, that Ray's back on the.
Yay, Raymond.
Mr. Welcome Chairman, back. Yeah, I wasn't getting the audio, so I logged off and on again, but it's good now.
Well, we also have Raul, so Raul's joined the meeting. Raul.
So we've got a full house except for Ted.
So I think when it comes time to vote, we just need to indicate who's voting for Ted and who would not be voting, and perhaps a roll call might be appropriate
for the vote.
So correct. who's going to sit in for Ted? Is it going to be Dan, or is it Mike who's the alternate?
Mike Yo, and Dan could vote. I'll sit out.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dan, technically, I think, was on one. Weren't you on 1 month earlier than Mike? Or did you guys get on it together? Do you remember?
I think we got on at the same time, if it matters. But I don't think it matters.
All right. So we'll mark it as Dan for the record, sitting in for Ted Estelan. Okay, public portion. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to address the commission on any items that are not already on as a public hearing for tonight?
Well,
I do.
Tom, you got some words of wisdom for us?
It's a public hearing, right? I'm talking on 10A, B, and C.
Well, yep, those are public hearings.
All right, so you don't want me to talk now? You want me to talk later about those?
No, this way it'd be on the record for those public hearings, Tom.
All right. Well, then I'll talk old business, B. And I was at the Board of Aldermen meeting, and I saw the alderman. They did pass to give Mr. Salem those spaces that he's going to rent out. So I'm hoping that this board has no problem passing this trolley point. Thank you. And I'll speak on it when it comes time. Thank you.
Just for the record, Mr. Jalowick, that matter was subject of a public hearing that's been closed. So any testimony taken during the public portion of this meeting cannot be should not be considered for the decision on that matter.
Okay. Anybody else from the public wish to address the commission?
I do. Jack Walsh, 38th Street. And I want to congratulate you. Finally seeing some real progress in downtown. But my thought is I'd like to see the city and planning and zoning to encourage these new developers that are coming into town to consider our past as well as our future. One of the first projects you've got is Trolley Point Square, or just Trolley Point. And my concept, which I've already talked to the alderman about, is I hope that these new developers coming in would honor our past by putting plaques either on their buildings or on their property, acknowledging the great history of Derby, particularly this area, which was known as the Borough of Birmingham in its heyday. And, you know, I prepared a Google map which documents about 30 different people, places, and events that might be highlighted. And I would hope that any developer coming into our downtown would want to be part of something like that. And I don't think it's a big expense, but I think if you got 25, 30 plaques around town honoring the history, I think that's a special thing for our downtown. So that's a concept that I hope you would endorse and promote with the developers coming in, as well as existing property owners.
Thanks, Jack. I think everybody's in favor of that. I'm not sure how we put any weight or can put any weight to that, but maybe Ryan, for the next meeting, you can just kind of think that through and let us know whether there's anything we can do to help support that endeavor. Okay. That makes sense. Thanks. Thanks, Jack. Did anybody else receive minutes for the December and the January meeting?
No.
Okay. So I guess they weren't circulated. So take a motion to postpone the reading of the minutes for the December 21st and the January 18th meeting until the till the March meeting.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved. Thank you.
Steve, this is Sarah. I'm sorry. Did public portion close?
Yes. No. Oh, I probably didn't wish to say that. I'm sorry, Sarah. So
no, you're right. No worries. Is it okay if I speak?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Sarah Wadomski, 95 Academy Hill Road, President, Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. You know, just a note, and I'm sure you all know, the board unanimously passed the resolution regarding the Trolley Point parking request. And we ask that you include this resolution as a condition of the zoning appeal. And then just a side note, you know, Jack Walsh's proposal, I love it. And, you know, anything the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen can do with planning and zoning and whoever else needs to get involved. I love it. Would be happy to take part in it. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. And sorry that I missed out on doing an official closure on that. But I think we went once and twice, third time. Anybody else like to address the commission under the public portion? Going once.
Actually, I just have one thing to echo on Jack's thing. I think it's a great idea. If it was sent out, I missed it. But if not, if you wouldn't mind forwarding that map that you made to the commission or whatever you have kind of drafted up, I'd love to take a look at it.
Jack, you still there? Did you hear that?
In your chat, I'll put a link to it.
Yeah, if you give it to Mark, he can circulate it, if that's the easiest way.
Awesome.
Thanks, Dan. So once again, anybody else from the public? Once, going twice. Okay, we'll close the public portion. And move on to receipt of applications. We have one application from Bimal Takar for Wingstop 49 Persian Drive site plan application for a dine-in and takeout wing restaurant. This is in the existing Persian Drive development. Do I have a motion to accept?
Make a motion.
And second?
Second.
Okay, so we have Al made the motion and seconded by Raul. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So moved. We'll take that under, we already have that on the agenda for new business under item 11.
Thank you.
Okay.
So we're going to come back to that, Mr. Thakar, shortly.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't mess up your name, last name too much.
No, perfect, perfect. No, you did it right.
Thakar, thank you. All right. So I'll move to item 10 on the agenda, public hearing from the City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission applications. Ryan, Barbara, is it okay to, should we open these individually?
Yes.
We need to do this individually. Okay, so I'll make a motion that we open the first one, 10A, City of Derby Planning and Zoning, 1 Elizabeth Street, in accordance with Connecticut General Statute 8-1BBJ, as amended by Public Act 21 through 29, assume that's paragraph 3, regarding opting out of the provisions of the Connecticut General Statutes 8 through 1BB and Connecticut General Statute 8-2D5, as amended by this Public Act 21-29, paragraph 4, concerning temporary healthcare structures. Do I have a second to open the
public? Boom. Second.
Thank you, Ray. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Ryan, you want to give us a little introduction to this?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. Public Act 2129 had a laundry list of zoning-related items that I may lean a little bit on Barbara on as well as we go through this, but one of which was a requirement that the city cannot prohibit the use of temporary healthcare facilities. Now, in this case, temporary healthcare facilities, I believe, are envisioned to be either trailers or prefabricated housing units or things of that nature that would support housing for a live-in healthcare worker for elderly, well, for those who need full-time healthcare assistance. It is something that the Planning and Zoning Commission has the ability to opt out of. It requires a two-thirds majority vote to do so. And if it is opted out, if you do choose to opt out, then those will not be permitted. Right now, trailers and things of that nature are not permitted. So that would that's the basic rundown. Now, this would also require approval by a two-thirds majority of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. But if you choose not to opt out, then anyone, any property owner in town would have the ability by right to place these structures on their property for the purpose of providing healthcare options for residents in the city. Barbara, do you have anything to add to that?
That's all correct. The only thing I want to point out is that by opting out, it doesn't mean that you're forever prohibiting this. It just gives the commission the right to come up with its own regulations if at some point it decides it wants to permit these kinds of structures. You're just not limited to what the state has said you have to do, which is basically, as of right. So I just wanted to make that clear.
No, thanks, Barbara, and thanks, Ryan. And also, I think the other point is that if we vote to opt out, then this needs to also then be approved by the Board of Aldermen, correct?
Correct.
Right. And that's true. This dialogue is pretty much true for all three of these items.
Right, right. The same thing would apply. It just gives by opting out, you as the commission have more flexibility to decide what you want to do, if anything, with these options.
If it allows local control, if that
is their statement. Right.
Correct. There anybody else from commission members like to speak on this before we open it up to the public for public comments? Okay. Anybody from the public wish to address the commission on this item?
Tom Reiner, 79 Sunset Drive. Nice. I would hope that this board opts out. That's all we have to do is start letting this happen. It'll be like a circus. So I hope everybody votes no. We opt out. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Anybody else from the public wish to address the commission on this item? Any more comments from commission members?
Yeah, I'd like to add one thing too. In the language of the stat of the Public Act, but also I don't believe, and Barbara, smack me if I'm wrong, but there would not be an ability to apply building setbacks or any other.
शुरू कर दिया अभी तो दो घंटे स्टोर बंद करने का बाकी है.
I think. Can you please mute Mr. Thakkar?
Could you mute yourself, please? Go ahead, Ryan.
I don't believe if this is allowed to proceed per the Public Act, that you would not be able to enforce building setbacks or anything of that nature. Barbara, is that correct?
Yes, I believe that's correct.
So these could be put anywhere in any property.
Right, as of right.
As of right.
Right. Right. Again, that's the reason why we would want to opt out at this point. And then Ryan, I assume we would need draft changes to the regulations to regulate this as a follow-up once the Board of Aldermen approve on the opting out.
Not necessarily. It's something to consider.
Okay.
It might be something that you consider under a comprehensive plan of conservation and development. It could be considered as a standalone item, or it could not be. I mean, really, right. Really, there. I don't know that I've come across this. Perhaps, I don't know, Dave, in your past as zoning enforcement, did you ever come across somebody looking to install one of these?
Not at all. In 22 years, I was going to ask you if you ever came across a request for someone to have a healthcare outbuilding, set up on the property for a healthcare worker. I never came across that. So I'm not sure if the city ever had a request for one, which speaks about, is there actually a need for this in Derby?
All right, so if there's no further comments or questions, and I'll move that we close the public hearing and consider possible action under new business 11.
Second.
11B. Second. Thank you, Raymond. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. Move on to the second public hearing for tonight. Item 10B, City Planning City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, Zoning 1 Elizabeth Street, opting out of the provisions of Connecticut General Statute 8-9D as amended by Public Act 2129 concerning limitations on parking spaces for dwelling units. And again, this is an opt-out provision similar to what we just discussed. Ryan, you want to give us a little more background?
Sure. So again, Public Act 2129 requires that the maximum parking requirement. Yes.
Can we open the public hearing first?
Oh, thank you, Karen. Thank you very, very much. I make a motion that we open the public hearing on item 10B.
Second.
Thank you, Ray. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved. Thank you, Karen, for keeping us on track. Much appreciated. You know, it's tough being the rookie, so to speak, I guess. I only get a chance like once a year, maybe twice. Go ahead, Ryan.
Okay, so Public Act 2129 requires that the maximum required parking demand for studio or one-bedroom dwelling units in a multifamily housing scenario would be limited to one space per unit. And the way to opt out of the commission so chose would require two-thirds majority vote and also a two-thirds majority vote of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. I would remind you of your parking standards for the city, which for most zones that have multifamily as a permitted or special exception use, require two parking spaces per unit. However, in the CDD and MDD zone, your regulations do have reduced parking allowed for studio one bedroom configurations. And in fact, less than two parking spaces required for a two bedroom. You also have in your regulations the ability by special exception to further reduce the parking if an applicant were able to demonstrate through various different potential means that their parking demand would be perhaps less than what would be required by your regulations. So you already have a reduced parking demand or requirement in downtown areas. You have the ability to reduce parking in other portions of the city at your discretion by special exception. So with that, if you do choose to allow this to proceed, the parking demand would be further reduced for studio and one bedroom dwelling units. Pretty simple.
Yep. Barbara, anything to add?
No, just basically the same thing I said before. It allows for local control. If you decide you want to keep your regulation as is, you can do that. You can make changes as you see fit moving forward, if assuming that you opt out.
Any comments from other commission members before we hear from if there's anybody from the public that wishes to talk on this item? Going once, going twice. Anybody from the public like to address the board on this item? Okay, then I'll make a motion to close the public hearing. Consider this under new business 11C. Have second on the motion. Thank you, Raymond.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? So moved. I'd like to go to item 10C, the third and last public hearing for tonight. City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, 1 Elizabeth Street, in accordance with Public Act 2129, paragraph 6F, regarding opting out of the provisions of section 6A to D of Public Act 2129 concerning accessory apartments. I have a second on the motion to open the public hearing.
Second.
Thank you, Raymond. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Ryan, you want to give us a little intro on this one also?
Okay. Oh, and I'm also going to, if Liz is on the call, she's still here. I believe she is. And Barbara as well. Oh. I may lean on them as well. But essentially what Public Act 2129 requires is that accessory dwelling units be permitted by right on any residential property in any zone. And in the legislation, there are guidelines for maximum size of accessory dwelling units, relationship between the size of the accessory dwelling unit and the primary structure. They are allowed to be detached. They're allowed to be attached to the primary residential structure. And they cannot be considered in cases where properties are served by subsurface sewage disposal systems, septic systems. It cannot be considered a community septic system if two detached structures are combined into one leaching field. And the accessory dwelling units would be allowed by right. It would not go in front of the board. It would not go in front of Zoning Board of Appeals. It would not be a public hearing, special exception, or anything along those lines. That's a quick rundown of what the statute of the legislation would require. Again, same as the previous two. If you choose to opt out of this, you have to do so by a two-thirds majority, and the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen would also have to opt out by two-thirds majority. This one has been a more contentious issue, some of you may have followed some of the back and forth in Woodbridge that helped be sort of the genesis of this legislation in many respects. That's it. That's a very quick rundown. And if Barbara or Liz want to chime in, feel free. But if there's any questions of the commissioner or the public, I'd be happy to answer them.
Elizabeth, do you want to add any comments? And then we'll let Barbara go.
I think Ryan covered it pretty thoroughly.
Okay.
Barbara, anything to add?
Yeah, again, same thing, just all about state versus local control here.
Any comments from any commissioners on this item?
And Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Ryan a question. Could you elaborate a little bit more, Ryan, on the difference between what this statute would allow as opposed to what Derby regulations currently allow in terms of alternate living quarters within a single family house per se?
So,
That we don't want to call it an in-law apartment, but something along those lines where you have maybe multiple kitchens, multiple bathrooms,
sure.
Bedroom and a sitting room that might be not in close proximity to the rest of the house. Because currently we have dozens of those situations in Derby, and it's not considered multifamily. It's not considered a two-family. It's just considered a single-family dwelling, for example, with different living quarters within it. There's nothing in our zoning regulations which prohibits that. And as a matter of fact, I've given out a lot of permits for a living arrangement like that. What we don't allow in our regulations is detached buildings being used for dwelling units. And we don't allow these different living quarters to be separated from the main dwelling by an unpierced wall or partition.
Well, I think you pretty much covered it, Dave, but what Dave is trying to, I'll just add a little bit to that. What Dave is essentially saying is that the regulations do not prohibit, say, someone from building an addition onto their house, and that addition be used for other family members or anyone to live in, provided that it's not separated. It's not separated by a wall. Unpierced wall is the language used in the regulations, like you would have, say, in a duplex, where you may have one structure, but you have two distinct dwelling units within it. Certainly, the regulations do not allow for a separate building. to be constructed to be used as a dwelling unit. There are cases where people have accessory structures in the property, but they have to meet certain requirements, so they're not considered a dwelling unit. What this legislation would allow is that every single residential property that currently is allowed for single family use essentially only would be allowed to essentially become a two-family property. Right now, the only zones where that it is allowed, single or two-family dwellings, is the R5 zone. Multifamily is also allowed in the the RM zone, excuse me, the CDD, the CR zone, the MDD, and I believe that's the some of the zones that allow multifamily or two-family dwellings. So this would pertain to primarily the R1, R2, R3, and R4 zones, which make up the bulk of the single-family residential properties in the city.
Well, we do have single-family homes in the R5 zone also.
Of course, but yeah, They're allowed by right to have a two-family on the property.
Any other commissioners have comments or questions?
With regards to everything Dave brought up, I think it's all the more reason to opt out if there's anybody who still needs convincing.
Agreed. We have anybody from the public that would like to address the commission on this item?
Yes, I would Tom, like to address.
Tom Lightning,
79 Sunset Drive. I hope we opt out of all three, and that's all I got to say.
Thank you, Tom. Was there somebody else that wanted to?
Yes. My name is Bob Carmona. I'm showing on your screen as Lisa Laptop. I'm using my wife's computer.
Okay. Could you, Bob, can you give us, say your name again and
yes, my
address?
My name is Bob Carmona. I live at 7 Grandview Boulevard here in Derby.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Go ahead, Bob.
I'm in favor of it, and I'll give you my reason in brief. I live in a house where the basement could be used for affordable housing and provide money revenue that I need for that I could use for retirement, as I'm closing on retirement within 3 years. Okay, and part of what I deal with is that I have a space that in order for anybody to use, they would need access to my living space proper in order to make use of laundry facilities. Okay. So therefore that requires me taking in someone that I know well and a single person as opposed to a family. Okay. So I see that as a person, an older person like myself, who likely is dealing with a limited income, or at the other end of the spectrum, a younger person entering the workforce who has limited resources at this time, okay? My property can cleanly and easily provide off-street parking if needed, okay? And if parking is not needed, like most places in Derby, I'm within a mile of shopping, regional busing, and train service. And, you know, if a person not capable of having a car walking that distance, Valley Transit can provide those connections as necessary, okay? It answers an ADU of this nature answers, you know, helps my dilemma with how do I deal with a fixed income in retirement that's coming up. I think it helps Derby because it doesn't require a new building. There's little space for new building of family housing in Derby. And I think in past years and continuing, any new family housing is further up the valley. So I think Derby's in a position as a place to grow, for a place for single people to live, young and old. And I think ADUs will help provide reasonable revenue to existing businesses, revenue to myself as well, as I've stated earlier, and provide revenue to new businesses when, you know, as the downtown development gets rolling. If there's any reason against it, I'd like to hear people talk about what's the reasons against it.
Well, I think
other than just saying, I think we just vote against it. If you're going to say vote against it, tell me why.
Yeah. Thank you for your comments, Bobby. I think the one thing to point out again is that all the commission tonight is doing is opting out of the automatic state regulations in favor of crafting regulations, possibly crafting regulations that suit Derby rather than kind of a blanket. They get that, Ryan, Barbara, Elizabeth, is that correct? A good way to put it? So it's not so much that we're, you know, saying this is not going to happen in Derby. We just want to say that we want to have the ability to craft our own regulations as it applies to our city.
And that would fall to whom?
That would fall back to planning and zoning to craft those regulations or to have somebody apply for them. Right. Could be done either way. Ryan.
So you do have, I mean, you got to consider a number of factors when it comes to these type of structures, these type of expansions of property. And I think one thing that Mr. Kimona suggested is that, you know, is there adequate parking? Is there adequate, is the topography suitable? Is there adequate ability to serve with sewer systems? Is there adequacy of the roads themselves? Some of the roads in town are not well suited to additional density. So there's a number of factors that the commission may wish to consider at some future date that would deem certain properties or certain areas or certain zones more favorable than simply a blanket regulation that would allow every single family residential property in the city to have this at their disposal. It would certainly be a significant change in the way that single family residential neighborhoods are developed. And I think what Steve was trying to allude to is that if the commission wanted to pursue this, they could do so and maybe do it a little more carefully than the blanket approach that the state is looking to apply.
Thanks, Brian. Bob, does that help answer
what we're doing at this stage? It helps. I get the idea of the whole just blanket at this point. I've been a homeowner here for 10 years, and the speed at which things work in Derby seems very slow. And I cannot be the only person who would wonder how long it would take to come up with an acceptable Derby version of what the state has put forward. I don't mean to offend anybody, but that's just.
Could I ask you a question? This is Dave Kopchansky.
Sure, Dave.
Are you quite sure that you can't accomplish what you want to do with that basement under our current regulations? Because it sounds to me like.
I think my situation, I could probably accomplish it.
Yeah.
I just don't.
It sounds like you have access to that basement.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Which means it's not a separate dwelling unit, which means even if you put in living quarters down there, it wouldn't turn it into a two-family dwelling, because two-family dwellings aren't allowed in the R3 zone. But again, it would go back to that, you know, separate living quarters within a single-family house. And of course, zoning doesn't care who lives there. And zoning doesn't care if somebody pays you or doesn't pay you. It can't be independent living facilities, which means that you couldn't have a separate electrical meter for that basement. You couldn't have a separate gas meter for that basement. They would be tied into the main house, and you would have a means to access that space. I mean, if all three of those things are doable for you, then you don't need a change in regulations at all.
Dave, I just interject, you'd also have to make sure it met code, building and fire code.
Well, it's single family house. Yeah. So you wouldn't need to have a separation, a fire rated separation.
No, but the bedrooms have to have egress.
the base.
That's a problem that we have.
That goes without saying for any kind of, because
that's a problem we have faced in the city.
Yeah.
Basement apartment. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ray.
Wasn't that the last thing that we closed the hearing on about the detached structures?
That was temporary healthcare structures.
Oh, we're on the detached.
We're on regular. This is regular.
Accessory apartments and accessory dwelling units.
All right. Okay.
So we haven't closed this yet. So anybody else have any other comments? Bob, I think.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I just want to be clear. So is the rub here in town about detached structures coming in?
I don't know that anybody has a form of.
I think the rub here is the state imposing regulations that we're going to be stuck with forever without us opting out of it and electing to choose our own or make our own. That's the big rub here is we don't want the state saying this is it now. And in 10 years, we're going to be looked at like clowns because we're stuck with regulations that we could have opted out of in favor of better regulations that better suit Derby.
We want to keep our options open.
And I have elected officials, representatives and senators voted for this. Have the people I've voted for myself, have they, you know, I trust them to make a decision at the state level. Have they voted for it?
Yes. They're the ones that told us that we either have to be for it or, you know, either opt in or opt out.
Okay. All right.
Ryan, didn't you say that after we make our decision, it has to go before the aldermen and they have to do the same thing?
Exactly right.
Okay. I get it. Ryan did say that. So this is just at the planning and zoning level, it still has to meet another criteria.
Correct.
Right. Okay. And I would just add the fact that it has to be 2/3 majority in both bodies. You know, the point is that there has to be a clear willingness on the part of the particular municipality to want to move in that direction. It's, you know, the legislation is making it a little harder, let's say, to opt out in that sense.
Thanks, Barbara.
Okay, if there's no further comments. Go ahead. Please identify yourself.
Yep, I'm Eric Asari from 9th Street on Derby. And I just want to voice my support for staying opt-in for this, for the ADUs. I think it's a good opportunity to increase our tax base. I think it also helps out with affordability issues that is happening in Connecticut. And I think there's a lot of pros with this ADU than leaving it off the table. So I fully support it.
Thank you, Eric. Any other final comments from commissioners or the public?
I just have a comment. I mean, I think it's really worth having a conversation on these accessory dwelling units, but I think the way the state wrote it up, it's just too wide open for just every single house to have that right, regardless of how dense your neighborhood is, what the parking situation is. So I think we need a little more discretion than just saying everybody has that right to do this.
Thanks, Al. Go ahead, Ray.
So, Mr. Chairman, and point well taken, Al. But, you know, the thing is, we just want to keep control. We're not saying you can't do this. You just can't do it everywhere, you know, as a matter of right. So, you know, provided there's no further discussion, I make a motion to close the hearing.
Thank you, Ray. I'll second that motion. All in favor? I think we ought to make sure that we have a clear recorded vote on this issue. Karen, you want to just call the roll?
Well, wait, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Ryan, go ahead.
We got to move on to.
That's right. We're just closing the public hearing. Thank you.
Closing the public hearing. Yeah.
Right. We'll do that on the next one. Thank you, Ryan. Good point. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed to closing the public hearing?
Just make sure nobody else from the public would like to speak on it. You think you got to announce that three times?
Yeah.
Okay, we can back up a minute. Is there anybody left? Anybody else from the public that would have liked to address this issue? Going once, going twice, three times. Ray, you want to make your motion?
Yeah, I'm just moved to close the public hearing on this.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All right, we'll move on to item 11 under new business. And the first item under new business, this is not a public hearing. This is just a discussion within the commission for Bimal Thakkar, Wingstop 49 Persian Drive site plan application for a dine-in takeout restaurant, discussion and possible action. We did receive letters from both the plaza owner, ShopRite, saying that they were in favor and working with Mr. Thakkar, and also from the fire marshal, not raising any objections to the idea. Any of the commission members have any questions? Ryan, you want any points on this application?
Just real quick before we turn it over to the applicant. My only comments were that it was unclear to me where, based on the initial submitted documents, where this was going to be located in the plaza. And also, the last time there was an application approved by this commission for this plaza was for a Asian restaurant. I can't recall the exact name of the business, but with that, the owner of the property provided us with a list of tenants occupying the space with the parking demand. So we had a nice catalog of the available parking and the parking demand based on the regulations. We've requested that Mr. Thakkar provide that along with the owner. And he did submit something to me about half an hour ago. I did not get the chance to review it, but those are my only two questions. And I would point out that the previous parking analysis showed that there's well over 100 spaces in excess of what was required. So I have no doubt that this application will still be beneath the required parking, or we'll have plenty of available parking. But I would like to see that categorized and cataloged for future occupants of the plaza.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan, was there a seating plan? Was there a seating plan that he gave you?
It was submitted this today and circulated to the commission earlier.
So you don't know how many seats are
20.
In this space?
Well, we have the applicant address that question. Go ahead, Mithakar. You want to explain what you're
Hi, how are you guys? And thanks for giving me an opportunity. And already I am operating one of the business in your Derby location that's called the Wayback Burger. And this is the second one, and that called the Wingstop. And I have 20 sittings in that location at this point. But business 90% is always takeout.
Dave, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it sounds like, I don't know, 24 parking spaces, Ryan.
20 seats, which would require 10 parking spaces.
And the takeout is 14.
I'd have to look at it, but they do show seating throughout. So, you know, whether we categorize it as a takeout or a dine-in, I don't have a doubt that they'll be able to meet the parking standard. It's just past experience or past when a change in use occurs.
Ryan, is this space part of the old pay half space that was in the shopping center?
That's my understanding.
Is the landlord contemplating subdividing that space into smaller spaces? He is.
Okay. Yes.
It's first time hearing. Yeah.
How many spaces is he going to make there?
For my space will be 1600 square feet.
Okay.
Any other questions for the applicant from the commission members? Dave, do you have a concern?
No, just so that we could keep that running tally accurate. Okay, if you're going to be subdividing the space and putting in new uses with different parking requirements, we want to make sure that we keep the tally for the entire shopping center up to date. I think Ryan knows what I'm talking about there.
Yeah, and I think that was Ryan's point, is that we need that table updated to reflect the new occupant. Yeah.
I just submit the paper, like I get it from the landlord. They allow like a 10 parking for every 1,000 square feet. So they allocate 16 parking for us.
Well, I can tell you this. It was submitted to me. I haven't had a chance to review it. I don't see any reason, though, based on the available parking on the site, that this can't be acted on by the commission tonight with the condition that staff review the parking table and that it be, you know, corrected prior to occupancy.
Yeah, sounds reasonable.
Sounds reasonable. So then if we have no other comments from the commissioners, I'd like to go ahead and make that in the form of a motion to approve this use with the requirement that the parking table be updated and reviewed with staff as part of the formal approval.
I'll second.
Does that motion cover, Ryan?
Yes.
All in favor? Thanks, Gino.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Derby.
Thank you.
Okay. Next items of new business, going back to our three opt-out motions. Ryan, you have a formal for each one of those, or should we just
Vin Marino was able to draft some formal resolutions for the three different potential opt-out clauses, and they're included in your packet that I sent to you to all you via email.
That's the status packet.
Yes. So I'm trying to pull it up myself here.
I'm doing the same. Wingstop.
So I'd be happy to read the resolution, Mr. Chairman, if that would make your life a little bit easier.
You think I'm going to say no to that, right? But I do owe you a beer.
Okay, I'll be happy to read it, and if there's any questions or discussions.
So the first one will be on the concerning temporary healthcare structures.
Yes. So resolution to opt out of the provisions of Connecticut General Statutes 8-1BB and subsection D5 of section 8-2 as amended by Public Act 2129 concerning temporary healthcare structures. Whereas Connecticut Public Act 21-29, effective October 1st, 2021, amends the provisions of Connecticut General Statutes Section 8-1BB and subsection D5 of Section 8-2 to authorize the installation of temporary healthcare structures in residential zoning districts, and whereas a municipality, by a vote of its legislative body, may opt out of the provisions of Connecticut General Statutes Section 8-1BB and subsections D5 of Section 8-2 of the General Statutes, as amended by Public Act 2129, provided the Planning and Zoning Commission, pursuant to Connecticut General Statutes 8-1BB, subsection J, 1, first holds a public hearing in accordance with the provisions of Section 8-7D of the General Statutes, 2, affirmatively decides to opt out of the provisions of said sections within the time permitted under Section 8-7D of the General Statutes, 3, states upon it its record the reasons for such decision, and 4, publishes a notice of such decision in a newspaper having substantial circulation in a municipality not later than 15 days after such a decision has been rendered, and whereas the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby has complied with the requirements of Section Now, therefore, be it resolved. Lost my space. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby that it declares its affirmative decision to opt out of the provisions of Connecticut General Statutes 8-1BB and subsection D5 of section 8, installation of temporary healthcare structures and residents. Be it further resolved that the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby bases this decision on multiple factors, including one, the density of occupation and concentration of structures in many of Derby's residential districts. Two, the incompatibility of temporary healthcare structures within the residential neighborhood, which have been designated as historic or are eligible for such designation. Three, Derby's large number of multifamily housing units and affordable housing options suitable for providing temporary affordable housing options for individuals likely to be served pursuant to Connecticut General Statutes 8-1BB and subsection D5 of section 8-2 of the General Statutes as amended by Public Act 2129. Four, the failure of Public Act 2129 to provide the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby, the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen, and the people of the City of Derby with enough flexibility to regulate temporary healthcare structures in a way that is compatible with the goals of the Derby Planning and Zoning Regulations and its Plan of Conservation and Development. Five, the small number of zoning enforcement personnel available to the City of Derby, whereby it may be difficult, if not impossible, to assess whether a particular temporary healthcare structure actually complies with the provisions of Connecticut General Statutes 8-1BB and subsection D5 of section 8-2 of the General Statutes as amended by Public Act 29. And be it further resolved by the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby that by adoption of this resolution, the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby votes to opt out of the provisions of this law and also to consider amending its zoning regulations to include as a prohibited use temporary healthcare structures pursuant to the amendments made to the General Statutes by Public Act 21-29 with the recognition that such provisions shall not be valid and effective until the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen as the legislative body of the City of Derby also holds a vote to opt out of the provisions of Public Act 2129, and be it further resolved by the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby that the city clerk be directed to publish notice of the passage of this resolution having substantial circulation within the City of Derby not later than 15 days after this resolution has been adopted. And following the publication of this resolution, refer this matter to the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen for discussion and action, dated at Derby, Connecticut, this 15th day of February 2022.
I'll take that as make that in form of a motion.
Second.
Thank you, Raymond. I'd like to do this as a roll call vote, Karen. All three of these items we'll do as separate roll call votes.
Mr. Chairman, would you have it opened up to discussion prior to the vote?
Yes, if there's any commission members that want to make any final comments. Going once, going twice.
Steve, question for you. Just so we get this right, I just want to ask this. As the chairman, are you allowed to turn that into a motion, or do one of us need to do that? Barbara.
Yeah, that's a good point. It would be better if another member made a motion and it was seconded.
Whoever made the motion, I think Steve made it, should be withdrawn, and whoever seconded should agree to the withdrawal.
I'll withdraw my motion. That's Raymond, fine. You want to make that motion?
Yeah, I'll make it in a form of a motion.
And then I'll second it. I just want to make sure it's right, just in case we have to revisit this.
Yep, very good, Gino. Thank you, Barbara.
That's a good point.
Okay. Clerk, can you please do a roll call vote?
Stephen Jalowick.
In favor.
David Kipchanski.
Aye.
Raul Sanchez.
Aye.
Albert Miskowitz.
Yes.
Raymond Sadlick.
Yes.
Gino DiGiovanni.
Yes.
And the alternate would be Dan Blisman, who is voting in the place of Ted Eswan.
And I vote yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The motion carries. Okay, move on to 11C regarding parking spaces for dwelling units. Ryan, you want me to read this one? Give you a break.
I can read it. You may.
You got it.
I'm getting paid.
Okay.
Resolution to opt out of the provisions of Connecticut General Statutes Section 8-2, D9, as amended by this Public Act 2129, Section 4, regarding limitations on parking spaces for dwelling units. Whereas Connecticut Public Act 21-29, effective October 1st, 2021, Sections 8-2, Subsections D9 of the General Statutes establishing limitations on parking spaces for dwelling units, and whereas a municipality by its vote of its legislative body may opt out of the provisions of Connecticut General Statutes Section 8-2 D9 as amended by this Public Act 2129 Section 4 regarding limitations on parking spaces for dwelling units, provided the Planning and Zoning Commission pursuant to Public Act Section 5 Subsection 1 Public Act Section 5 1 first holds a public hearing in accordance with the provisions of Section 8-7D of the General Statutes on such proposed opt-out, two, affirmatively decides to opt out of the provisions of said sections within the period of time permitted under Section 8-7D of the General Statutes, three, states upon its records the reason for such decision, and four, publishes a notice of such decision in a newspaper having substantial circulation in a municipality not later than 15 days after such a decision has been rendered, and whereas the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby has complied with the requirements of Section 5 of Public Act 21-29 prior to acting upon this resolution. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby that it declares its affirmative decision to opt out of the provisions of Connecticut General Statutes 8-2, Section D9, as amended by Public Act 2129 concerning limitations on parking spaces for dwelling units. Be it further resolved that the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby bases this decision and declaration on multiple factors, including one, the density and occupation and concentration of structures in many of Derby's residential districts, two, the existing zoning regulations adequately address the parking needs of the City of Derby, and three, the failure of Public Act 21-29 to provide the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby, the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen, and the people of the City of Derby with enough flexibility to regulate the parking needs in a way that is compatible with the goals of the Derby zoning regulations and its plan of conservation and development. And be it further resolved by the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby that by adoption of this resolution, the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby votes to opt out of the provisions of this law with the recognition that such opt-out shall not be valid and effective until the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen, as the legislative body of the City of Derby, also holds a vote to opt out of the provisions of Connecticut General Statute Section 8-2, D9, as amended by this Public Act 21-29, Section 4, and be it further resolved that the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby, that the City Clerk be directed to publish notice of the passage of this resolution in a newspaper having substantial circulation in the City of Derby not later than 15 days after this resolution has been adopted, and following the publication of this resolution, refer this matter to the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen for discussion and action, dated at Derby, Connecticut, this 15th day of February 2022.
We have anybody who wants to make this in form of a motion?
Oh, I'll turn it into okay, go ahead.
Right. Thank you, Raymond. Seconded by Gino.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, sorry. Back up a minute. Karen, call the roll, please. Karen?
I lost Karen.
Did we lose her?
No, she's muted. There we go.
There you go. Steve Galloway.
Aye.
David Kaczynski.
Aye.
Raul Sanchez.
Aye.
Albert Miskiewicz.
Yes.
Raymond Sadlick.
Aye.
Gino DiGiovanni.
Aye.
And alternate Dan Blisman.
Aye.
So moved. Thank you, everybody. And moving on to item 11D regarding the accessory apartments. Ryan, you want to go ahead and do your magic reading? One more time.
Okay, this one's a tough one. This is a two-pager.
Yeah.
Resolution to opt out of the provisions of Section 6A to D of Public Act 2129 concerning accessory apartments. Whereas Connecticut Public Act 21-29, effective October 1st, 2021, establishes default provisions that allow construction of accessory dwelling units, or ADUs, on lots accompanying single-family homes, unless the municipality chooses to opt out of this provision. Zoning regulations must be amended by January 1st, 2023 to follow the law, lest non-compliant sections of zoning regulations become null and void, in which case the law will govern, and whereas a municipality by vote of its legislative body may opt out of the provisions of Section 6, A to D of Public Act 2129 concerning accessory apartments, provided the Planning Zoning Commission pursuant to Public Act Section 6F1 first holds a public hearing in accordance with the provisions of Section 8-7D of the General Statutes on such proposed opt-out. Two, affirmatively decides to opt out of the provisions of sections within the period of time permitted under Section 8-7D of the General Statutes. Three, states upon the record the reasons for such decision. And four, publishes a notice of such decision in a newspaper having substantial circulation in a municipality not later than 15 days after such decision has been rendered. And whereas, in addition to allowing ADUs accompanying single-family homes, Public Act 21-29 places limits on other conditions of approval, including A, ADUs cannot be restricted to homeowners or relatives of occupant and primary structure. B, approval process shall not require public hearing, special permit, or special exception, and decisions must be rendered within 65 days of application. C, permission to construct an ADU shall not be conditional to correcting a nonconformity or requiring fire sprinklers if they are not required by the fire code for the principal dwelling. D, regulations shall not require ADUs to have exterior door, be connected to the primary structure, or have more than one parking space. E, regulations must permit the maximum size of the ADU be 1,000 square feet or 30% of the size of the primary structure, whichever is smaller. F, the construction of an ADU may not trigger more restrictive lot coverage requirements than applicable to the primary home, require greater setbacks than are required for the primary home, require greater height, landscaping, and architectural design standards than apply to single-family dwellings. G, ADUs shall not be required to be affordable. H, municipalities may regulate the use of ADUs as short-term rentals. I, ADUs shall not be required to be served by separate utilities and shared septic systems, shall not be considered community wastewater systems for regulatory purposes. J, ADUs built or permitted after January 1st, 2022 that are not deed restricted, do not count toward denominator total dwelling units in Section 8-30G threshold calculation. Whereas the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby has complied with the requirements of Section 6F of Public Act 2129 prior to acting upon this resolution. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby that it declares its affirmative decision to opt out of the provisions of Section 6A through D of Public Act 29 concerning accessory apartments. Be it further resolved that the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby bases this decision and declaration on multiple factors, including one, the density of occupation and concentration of structures in many of Derby's residential districts. Two, the incompatibility of accessory apartments within the residential neighborhood, which have been designated as historic or eligible for such a designation. Three, Derby's large number of multifamily housing units and affordable housing options suitable for providing temporary affordable housing options for individuals likely to be served pursuant to Section 6A to D of Public Act 29. Four, the failure of Public Act 2129 to provide the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby, the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen, and the people of the City of Derby with enough flexibility to regulate accessory apartments in a way that is compatible with the goals of the Derby zoning regulations and its plan of conservation and development. Five, the small number of zoning enforcement personnel available to the City of Derby, whereby it may be difficult, if not impossible, to assess whether a particular accessory apartment complies with the provisions of the General Statutes as amended by Public Act 2129. And further, be it resolved by the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby that by adoption of this resolution by the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby, it votes to opt out of the provisions of this law. with a recognition that such opt-out shall not be valid and effective until the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen, as the legislative body of the City of Derby, also holds a vote to opt out of the provisions of Section 6, A to D of the Public Act 21-29, and be it further resolved by the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby that the city clerk be directed to publish notice of the passage of this resolution in a newspaper having substantial circulation in the City of Derby not later than 15 days after this resolution has been adopted, and following the publication of this resolution, refer this matter to the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen for discussion and action, dated at Derby, Connecticut, this 15th day of February 2022.
Thank you, Ryan. You deserve a break. Do we have somebody that will make this in a form of a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Gino.
Second that.
Second by Dan Blitzman. Will the clerk please perform a roll call vote?
Stephen Jalabuck.
Yes.
David Kupchansky.
Aye.
Raul Sanchez. Aye. Albert Miskowitz.
Aye.
Raymond Sadlick.
Yes.
Gino DiGiovanni.
Aye.
And alternate Dan Blisman and replacement of Estuan.
Aye.
Thank you, clerk. Motion passes. Thank you, everybody. Item 11E, affordable housing plan and formal discussion.
Mr. Chair, did Mr. Sanchez vote? I did not hear his audible vote.
Yes.
Karen, did you got that right?
Yes, I thought I heard him, but it was very quiet. Yep.
Thank you, Mark. Always best to double check. Informal discussion of affordable housing plan. Ryan, who's going to lead that?
I've asked Liz Esposito of our office, planning for our planning group.
Take it away, Liz.
All right. Yeah, I'll give Ryan a break from talking for a little while. So I just prepared a couple of slides to guide the discussion and go over what the state requirements for affordable housing plans are. So 830J, not to be confused.
Can you share your screen?
Is it not sharing?
I don't think so. I don't have it.
Whoops.
That's all right.
Let's try this again. How's that?
There we go.
All right. So 830J, not to be confused with 830G, was passed a few years ago, and it requires that every municipality maintain an affordable housing plan and update it every 5 years. So unlike many of the provisions you just opted out of, this is intended to encourage a bottom-up approach where cities and towns can develop and guide affordable housing as it best suits them. So these plans are supposed to be due on June 1st of this year. If you miss this deadline, you just have to send in a letter of explanation to the Department of Housing. There's no penalty for missing this deadline. However, they haven't announced if there would be any funding or grant opportunities that would result from having this plan. So the city may miss out on those in this cycle. So what goes into this plan? The municipality, the main thrust of it is that the municipality has to, in good faith, demonstrate how they intend to increase the number of affordable housing units within its boundaries. So this can be capital A, capital H affordable housing that is deed restricted or in some other way that the occupant is receiving assistance. Or it could be naturally occurring affordable housing, which is housing that is just so happens to be priced so that lower income folks can afford it. It's encouraged that towns and cities hold public information meetings and other activities to inform residents about the plan development process and get their participation. Under the statute, a public hearing is not required, but if you choose to hold one, you have to give at least 35 days notice. And then following the adoption, Derby would have to regularly review and maintain this plan every 5 years. The statute does not specify what body of the municipality needs to pass the plan. So what we've seen is typically it's the PZC or city council, the RTM, whatever governing body that the city or town has. So the state hasn't mandated certain things that should be in the plan, but they did provide some guidelines last December that this plan should have a community value statement, the history of housing in town, provide a housing needs assessment, assess land use and zoning, and provide some goals and actions and strategies to get those goals met. It's very similar to a POCD, your plan of conservation and development. A lot of that data would apply here. A lot of those goals and objectives may be repeated in this plan as well. So what do you need to begin? So we've been doing a couple of these over the last few years, separate from plans of conservation and development. So typically we recommend a 6 to 12 month window with 4 to 5 of those months being really active where you're really engaging with your staff or your consultant to get this done. It's recommended to have a leadership team, whether that's the Planning and Zoning Committee itself, a subcommittee, or a separate volunteer committee, ad hoc commission, that kind of thing, to spearhead this effort. We also recommend a communication strategy and a public participation plan that can be as formal or as casual as you'd like. But just to set that out in advance, because there is a lot of misinformation and myths that go around about affordable housing, and you want to make sure everyone is working with facts. And you need a lot of data to represent the conditions in Derby accurately on housing supply, housing demand, the demographics, possible future trends, and economic conditions. So if you're looking for examples of cities and towns that have recently completed these plans, I provided a list. Fairfield and East Lyme are a little bit older, so I wouldn't recommend looking at those, but they are there. And in addition to this list, SLR is also working on 16 more for that June 1st deadline. So we're really in the thick of it with these, and we have a lot of experience. So that is just a very brief overview. Here I've provided the exact language. And if you have any questions on this, I'm happy to take them now.
Liz, why does Salem show up twice on that list, or is that just a typo?
Salem's on there twice. Oh, yeah. It is a typo. My bad.
Okay, that's all right. That's
they got right. Double credit.
Yeah. And do we have any idea currently what our affordable housing stock is in the town? Ryan?
So
last I've seen it was 12% of the dwelling units in town, but that was probably a few years ago, so I've not seen anything more recent than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan, traditionally Derby has had, I'm not sure if it was called an affordable housing plan, but it was a plan that had all of this data in order to qualify us for a small cities grant application.
Right?
I mean, we've been doing that since the 1970s. Okay, so we have some historical data on that. I'm not sure the last time it was updated. I know Patty Finn, who the late Patty Finn, no longer with us, was in charge of that. And she maintained all those records. I'm not quite sure who has them now, Liz, but if you could get your hands on that, I think it would assist you a lot in trying to update that plan rather than trying to create it whole cloth.
Dave, that was perfect. It kind of leads into the two comments I wrote down. One was that I think what would make sense instead of getting into a full discussion of this tonight would be to have SLR prepare a proposal for the committee commission to review next month on what it would take to prepare our plan. And you're right, if they could uncover what had been done in the past, because yeah. That was going to be my other question was going to be, can we get at least some kind of benchmark of where we are currently? It sounds like, Dave, you're thinking that there may be data already there.
Well, no, I know that there is. We've received small cities grants,
right?
You know, over the years, and you need that data in order to even apply for a small cities grant.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the Valley Community Foundation's done studies like that too. Mm-hmm. I know we've gotten lots of information on demographics and everything from that.
Yeah. And that's a great use of this plan as well, Dave, to have all of that data in one spot. So when you're going for funding, whether it's from small cities or another source, you can directly point to that plan, point to your documented needs. And also, go ahead.
It just occurred to me, I know that plan that was created had to be voted on by the Board of Aldermen and adopted. So it may exist in the minutes of some of those Board of Aldermen meetings. Perhaps the town clerk could do a search for us if we can't find it otherwise.
Thank you. And I just checked the state affordable housing appeals list. So 12% of the housing in Derby is protected affordable, so deed restricted, or the occupant is receiving some kind of assistance, just for the knowledge of the group.
Good. Thanks, Liz. Any other comments from other commissioners? I mean, does that make sense? We'll get the proposal for next month and then continue the discussion.
Yeah, and I think that's something we'll have to review with the mayor's office as well regarding the fee proposal, because I think ultimately it probably will have to be signed by the mayor, not planning and zoning. That would be my guess. But we'd be happy to provide you a proposal for it. And I just would urge the commission, or you know, the mayor's office as well, or the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, to move on this fairly quickly, just so at least by June 1st, the city can report to the state that it's in process.
And so, Ryan, can you kind of spearhead though the fact finding also before next?
Yes.
Month, of what we might already have on the books, and maybe distribute that to the commissioners ahead of time. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah, there's something there.
See, everybody's thrilled about the subject.
It's kind of like going to the dentist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since we've been doing so much for so many years for us, you know, sure, there's plenty of towns that hadn't been doing it.
Yeah, I don't think planning and zoning handled this before. I think it was strictly through the Board of Aldermen.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And Liz, are certain municipalities having their legislative bodies handle this plan, or has it been exclusively P&Z commissions per your experience?
Yeah, for the, I would say 19 or so that we've been working on, it has been exclusively the planning and zoning commissions.
Oh.
Doesn't require that, right?
The statute doesn't require that. But it's a natural fit, I think.
Maybe since Sarah's on the call, that we can suggest that the Board of Aldermen also, Alderwoman, have a discussion about this before next month and try to give us some direction as to how they prefer.
I have a question. The Board of Aldermen, the way the city is set up here, would have to approve it anyway, right? Final approval to them. So they're going to have to, you know, discuss it anyway, right?
Yeah, but I think what we're looking for is guidance as to which should planning and zoning be the point body on this, or should
okay.
It
be? Oh, that, provide them with a recommendation.
I think we're also looking for that guidance.
Okay, got it.
That makes sense. I see Liz nodding her head, so I think we got it right. Okay, thank you. Move on to old business. regarding Derby Apartment Investments, Trolley Point, 90 Main Street. Ryan, is this something we can discuss as one item? I know we closed the public hearings already on this.
So it should be additional information, correct? Yeah, it should be acted on as two separate applications, though.
Okay. All right. So
we did close these public hearings, Mr. Chairman?
We did.
They are closed.
Right. Okay. But we're allowed to receive staff information and the Board of Aldermen resolution, correct, Ryan? Barbara, at this point?
Yeah, so we received the approval for the Board of Aldermen for the offsite parking.
So we've acted on everything else as one, so why can't we do that here?
Well, I'd like to point out that there's a two-part process to the approval for a PDD like this. And really, you know, the way we structured it is that we have two separate motions, one for the zone change and right. one for the master and final site plan. It's just how these PDDs should be acted on.
We basically
went over all this last month, though, correct? Other than the Board Alderman.
All we got to do is vote tonight, right?
Right. Yep. And we'll have to do it in two separate votes. That's the right way to do it.
All right. What's the first one up?
So the first one would be the zone text change to convert the center design.
Zone map change.
All
right. Well,
I'd like to make a motion. Ryan, you want to walk through this, please?
We do have draft motions that are included in your packet. If you want me to read it in, Ray.
Yeah, but I'd like to make a motion to approve this. So read it in, and let's. I mean, we beat this up long enough here.
I'll second it once you read it.
Okay. Read for the horse, guys.
I agree with Ray. I mean, how many times you sent it to us? We read it. Read it into the record. I understand that, but
yeah.
Yeah, let's to do it right, let's let Ryan read it and then.
All right, go ahead, move on.
Beat the dead move horse. On. Send them to the glue factory. Come on.
Okay, application for zone map change number 2021-11-1601, applicant Derby Apartment Investments LLC. Zone change from Center Design District CDD to Plan Development District PDD, Assessor's Map 8-5, lot 177. Whereas the City of Derby Planning and Zoning Commission has received an application from Derby Apartment Investments LLC to change the zone on property identified as Assessor's Map 8-5, lot 177 from CDD to PDD. Whereas the commission has received a complete application, reviewed pertinent documents submitted by the applicant in support of its application, items 1-4. Whereas the city, the commission has held a duly called public hearing on December 1st, 2021 and January 18th, 2022 to receive testimony from the applicant, the public, and from its technical staff and consultants. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission hereby approves the zone map change application as presented, finding that the change to the zone map for the above referenced parcel is consistent with the goals of Section 195-2 of the zoning regulations and the plan of conservation and development. Therefore, the effective date of the change to the zone map shall be March 4th, 2022.
Do we have somebody that's making that in a form of a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Ray. Second. Thank you, Gino. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Ryan, we want to move on to the second one, Derby Apartment Investments, Trolley Point, 90 Main Street, master and final site plan application approval.
Okay, City of Derby Planning Zoning Commission, February 15th, 2022, application for master plan and development and final site plan, number 2021-11-16-02, 90 Main Street, applicant Derby Apartment Investments, LLC. Motion, whereas the city... The Derby Planning and Zoning Commission has received an application from Derby Apartment Investments LLC for the approval of a master plan of development and final site plan for the property located at 90 Main Street for the construction of a new multifamily building with 105 units and related parking and other site improvements as shown on the maps and plans appended to this motion. Whereas the commission held a duly called public hearing on December 1st, 2021 and January 18th, 2022, at which the applicant, the public, and the commission's technical staff and consultants provided testimony, whereas pursuant to section 195-48 and 195-24 of the regulations, the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission finds the following. One, the application and supported documentation as presented is in accordance with sections 195-48, subsections A through F, and section 195-24 of the regulations. Two, that the plan is designed for the redevelopment of property consistent with the CDD zone and the plan of conservation and development. Three, the application proposes to construct a new building with a total of 105 residential dwelling units. Four, the applicant's engineer has produced documentation demonstrating that formal stormwater detention is not warranted with stormwater quality enhancements provided and is therefore in compliance with the regulations. Five, the site plan improvements contain a detailed sediment erosion control plan that is in compliance with the regulations. Six, that the architectural plan provides appropriate architectural enhancements compatible with downtown Derby. Seven, the traffic impact of the proposed development will not have a significant impact on nearby intersections. Eight, the site is near major roadways and transportation hubs. Nine, that the applicant has demonstrated by resolution of the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen that off-site parking has been made available for the purpose of overflow parking. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission hereby approves the application for master plan and development and final site plan for Derby Apartment Investments LLC on property shown on Assessor's Map 8-5, Lot 177, subject to the following conditions. One, the following represents the dimensional standards, residence standards, and parking requirements where the master plan development and final site plan differs from the underlying CDD zone and shall be used as a basis for future zoning compliance. Notwithstanding section 195-20.G.2, residential uses shall not exceed a density of 82 dwelling units per acre. Notwithstanding section 195-20.H.3 of the regulations, step backs over the fourth floor shall not apply. Notwithstanding section 195-61E of the regulations, required parking for dwelling units shall be allowed on off-site properties. Notwithstanding section 195-20F2A, the maximum building height may be 73 feet. Notwithstanding section 195-20F5, the front setback may be 0 feet and the build to line shall be 16 feet from the property line. Notwithstanding section 195-39D11, the minimum percent of an interior landscaping within the parking lot shall be 3%. Notwithstanding section 195-39E3, the minimum number of shade trees per parking space shall be 1 tree for every 32 spaces. Notwithstanding section 195-53B and 195-59G of the regulations, parking spaces are permitted to be 9 feet wide by 18 feet deep for a total of 162 square feet. Two, the billboard as shown in the reference documents shall not be permitted. Three, all future uses shall conform to the permitted use as shown in section 5 of Statement of Uses and Standards, reference document number 4. Four, the parking plan on property owned by the DOT cannot be considered at this time until the parcel is owned by the applicant or rights to park in the parcel have been secured from the owner. A modification to the master plan and final site plan will be needed prior to construction of any additional parking areas beyond those controlled by the applicant. Five, prior to the issuance of a building permit, the applicant shall obtain approval from the Office of State Traffic Administration and or the Connecticut Department of Transportation or provide confirmation that no approvals from either of these entities are required. Six, a plan shall be prepared by the applicant for review by the city engineer depicting the location of the proposed roof drains and downspouts along with the connection points into the on-site or city storm drainage. Seven, the applicant shall provide lighting plan demonstrating conformance with the zoning regulations. Eight, all roof drains shall be directed to the underground stormwater management area. Nine, the applicant's engineer shall provide the city engineer with computations demonstrating the stormwater management system provides for adequate water quality volume or water quality flow as defined by the 2004 DEP water quality manual. 10, the applicant shall obtain approval from the Derby WPCA for the proposed sanitary sewer connections. 11, applicant shall furnish the city with an improvement location survey of the property depicting the completed site modifications. 12, all site signage shall be reviewed by the zoning enforcement officer for compliance with the regulations. 13, all handicap parking shall be provided in accordance with the Connecticut Building Code. 14, any modifications to the above reference drawings shall be submitted to the P&Z Commission staff for review. 15, the building officials should not issue any building or zoning permits on the lots until the city finance director has verified that all fees have been paid in accordance with the City of Derby Ordinance Section 85-3. The approval shall be based on the following documents submitted in support of this application. Items 1 through 15, I will not bore you with those details.
So moved.
Thank you, Ryle. Ryan, I'll make that in form of a motion. Second. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Raymond. All in favor?
Steve, can I ask a question? Is the parking resolution part of the approval?
It was.
I'm sorry. Yes. I just didn't.
It was. It's on the top of the second page, item 9. The applicant has demonstrated by resolution of the Board of Aldermen that off-site parking has been made available for the purposes of the overflow parking. I think Sarah would like to have the actual Board of Aldermen resolution attached to the approval.
It's a reference document and the items I chose not to read.
Yeah.
we have 14 separate documents, or 15 rather, one of which we listed as the resolution from the Derby Board of Aldermen and Aldermen regarding parking on municipal lots.
Thanks, Ryan. Sarah, you're okay?
All thank set? You.
No problem. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any aye. Opposed? So moved. Put the shovel on the ground.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Raymond.
I would just like to thank the Board of Aldermen for coming to positive conclusion with this too. I mean, because this is going back and forth, but I think we'll all be proud of what's going to be done down there. So,
well said. I agree. I think everybody does. Item 12C. Do we have anything on the update on the detention basins, Brian? I don't think so, right?
No, I've provided, or I'm going to provide, all of our reports to Kevin White as the new zoning enforcement officer to have him and see if he can follow up with the residents of some of those neighborhoods. We do have one that's partially complete, but that's it so far. So there's not a lot of updates here at the moment.
Could you ask him also to have plan to be at the next meeting to present to the an update so you don't have to?
I can ask him to attend. I'm not sure if he's contractually obligated to attend night meetings.
Interesting.
But I can certainly ask
them. If I'm not, I believe I'm correct in that new position that he's responsible to the zoning board. Barbara, is that correct? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the actual contract says, but certainly a zoning enforcement officer is a delegate of the zoning commission and reports to this board.
I would hope that's in his contract.
I would hope so too.
I mean,
we had enough problems with that last time.
I mean,
yeah, I mean, I would think so, but yeah, I don't know offhand.
You think that's something you could check into to make sure that we're going to be able to get regular reports from him?
Sure, I can look into that. But absolutely, he reports to this commission. There's no question about that. Or he should.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate all your help tonight. You did an extra yeoman's job. we have a motion to pay bills, if found correct.
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, everybody.
Good job, Steve.
Have a good night. Take care. Thank you.
The record should reflect that it is 8:40 p.m.